Sounds, all of these repetitions are, because this is exactly what a child needs to hear in a black and white fashion. Doesn't have the kind of the gray understanding yet. But if one is wondering, and until now he's been speaking in general about stay away from the bad and perform the good. Listen to my positive advice. You will have a good life. It will keep you secure. You'll live a long life this way. Stay away from the wicked people. So even though, as we've already mentioned, he has detailed a little what a wicked lifestyle is, those people who want to take advantage of others, those people who want to, he's even been using extreme terms, who say, okay, let us kill this person. Those people go after this Isha Zara v'Nochriya. But he hasn't really told us what to do, what these midot, literally what the measurements are, what some of these positive behaviors are until now. Gena Perek Vav. One can even argue that until now it's all been really more or less of an introduction of encouragement, which is very important to tell a child. Perek Vav, Bini, Im Erafta L'Re'acha Takata L'Zar Kapecha. If you have been a guarantor for your friend, right? In other words, your friend is taking a loan, and you're the guarantor. How is this generally expressed? Takata lazar kapecha. You gave a handshake for a stranger. Basically, your friend committed to someone else, right, to do something, and you don't know that third party, but you did this for your friends. And he's going to warn him, keep in mind that you just got involved in something beyond you. And you basically have to a certain degree, you have caught yourself up in this trap. No kashta be'imrei picha, nilkadata be'imrei picha. You trapped yourself by the words of your mouth. And this is also something that happens perhaps more when we're young than when we're old. What is he trying to say? Be very careful with your words and commitments, right? If you say you're going to do something, then realize you're going to do something. But before you commit to doing it, maybe you should have realized that it wasn't necessarily the wise thing to do because you trapped yourself here. Ase zot efo, therefore do this, bini, vihinatzel, ki bata bekafreyacha, so that, Yana, how do you rescue yourself? Yana, if you now are vulnerable in the hands of your friends, lech hitrapes urahav reyacha. What you should do is make yourself humble before him and basically attempt to placate him. In other words, what is he trying to tell him? Be very careful with your words. And if you use the wrong words and you said the wrong thing, that ultimately is going to get who in trouble?
You.
Yourself. Especially when it involves someone, the czar. As soon as he says, Yana, you involve the czar kapecha, you gave a handshake for someone czar, you already know. What does he think of a czar? Uh-oh, right? Achzari. And then you have to try to get yourself out of this with your words, meaning try to placate your friends. Right? This is where we know the bracha. From here. So don't go to sleep. Again, don't go to sleep until you do what? Hinatzel kitzvi miyad o kitzipor miyad yakush. And instead, rescue yourself like a deer who tries to get away from the hunter as quickly as possible. And a tzipor, who as soon as they recognize the trap, moves away as well. So here there are two different ideas. It doesn't just mean if you were a guarantor. It basically means if you find that you were entrapped in something, meaning sometimes he already has said, don't even go near the stranger's house. Well, let's say you have, right? Let's say the stranger has already said, come, right? Meaning, would you like candy? And you said yes. What should you do if you've already said yes? Use those same words and do what? Get yourself out of it. Right now, by the way, you tell me what midah or midot even is he highlighting here? I just told you stay far away. But now I'm going to tell you be careful. Sometimes you don't even realize. You think that you're helping someone, but you're really going to be sabotaging yourself. And this is something that you can tell a young child. And so use your words and try to get away as soon as possible. Which midot?
Alertness.
Alertness, meaning be careful with your words.
Caution.
Caution.
Like humility, kind of. Because
humility. Excellent. And what word did he say twice? Right? Don't go to sleep. Instead, hinatzil kitzvi miyad ukitzipor miyad yakush.
Zrizut.
Zrizut. Right? By the way, he used the term miyad and then ukitzipor miyad yakush, right? Which has a double connotation, right? Like a bird who gets out from the hand of the trap, but also miyad, right? Miyad, right away, right? Zrizut. And this is the introduction to the author's favorite midah. His favorite midah is going to be that of zrizut, of alacrity, which already tells you which midah ra'ah is he going to detest more than any other?
Laziness.
Does that make sense from coming from Shlomo? Definitely. And I just want to highlight that because even when you get to the sophisticated words of the Chachamim, we're going to see the same idea, a true detest for laziness. So on that note, Pasuk Vav, Lechem nemala atzel, re'e dracheha v'chacham. Go to the ant, he calls the child, right, lazy. And he says, so learn from the ant, and see from the ant, again, the ways of the ant, and that will make you smart. Smart in what? Here's our proof. That smart does not mean intelligent smart, but rather ethically smart. You will learn how to act in an efficient and zariz, right, a manner of a tremendous alacrity. Asher ein la katzin shotero moshel. Please keep this in mind, because the ant doesn't have an ant king, right? There's no officer, there's no guard, there's no ruler, right? You've all seen the movie Ants, right? The animated one, right? They work so efficiently. Tachin b'kayetz lochma. Now, again, for a child, this is fascinating, because every child is familiar with ants. And we're going to see how the same mishalim are going to be used in a more sophisticated level as we go on, because the ant knows how to prepare her food in the summer, and she stores it up, agra b'katzir machala, stores it up during the harvest time. And you, an matai atzel tishkav, how long are you going to stay so lazy? Matai takum mishnatecha, when are you going to get up from going to sleep? Me'at shenot, me'at numot, a little sleep, a little slumber, again, me'at chibuk yadayim lishkav, again, just and stay down for a little bit. And just a little bit of this even, and the Oni is going to come. Gena, this is what he means here, that Reshecha, the poverty will come, and if you lack this, meaning if you don't have so much sleep, then that will actually be your strength. Now, he doesn't mean you should get less than 8 hours of sleep, right? What he means is, and don't become a couch potato, right? Don't sit down and then just close your eyes. Okay, get up. Again, the less lazy you are, the stronger you'll be. Now, why does he use this terminology? Again, not only the less strong, again, you won't be poor and you will be strong, right? You won't be poor because you're going to be working. Excellent. And you'll be strong because... Exactly. Excellent. Because you worked for it, because you invested in it. And we're going to see this over and over. By the way, this is an amazing study that has been done. And people have taken children of very like high-powered professionals. And what have they found? That even without spending so much time with the parent, I'll even give you a very hands-on and type of mashal as well. And without spending time, they learn the value of time, right, and efficiency. And as long as the parents make sure that, right, they're not in front of the television too much. And obviously, all those studies, that's already old school, right? We know the ratio between hours in front of a television, success in school, right? That's very clear. So much so that studies have been done as well with observing, and this is a remarkable study, observing people who... and work very hard during the day, but they come home, and what do? They relax in front of a television. So as far as the child is concerned, what does the parent do all day? Isn't that something? And those are the habits that the child will also learn from. So again, he says, I'm telling you, these are the habits that I want you to be ingrained in from the very beginning. Pasuk Yud Bet, Adam Bli Al... Bli'al literally mean a person who doesn't feel a sense of responsibility. So now are we finally getting to actual midot? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. A person who doesn't feel that he's beholden to anyone or responsible to anyone. Ish aven holech ikshut pe. Gena, he is going to be a person of of aven, right? Similar to avon, right? A person who doesn't follow the law, a person of injustice. Holech ikshut pe. He will always then go and say whatever he wants to come out of his mouth, which you already know you have to be so careful about. Koreitz be'enav molel, v'raglav more be'et bo'otav. Right? Not only that, he winks with his eyes, and koreitz be'enav molel b'raglav. He shuffles with his feet, more be'et bo'otav. And he points just with his fingers. Right? What are all of these? And different expressions of? Basically, of dishonesty, right? Of hinting to things without being explicit through his words. Tapuchot b'libo choresh ra b'chol et. Such a person as well. And plots all the time. And he's going to be thinking evil plots. Midyanim yishaleach. Right here, another tikbolet. And all of his midyanim, meaning his strife. Midan is a riv. Right, some type of contention is what he's going to be casting out. Okay, pitom yavo edo, and therefore all of the consequences will come quickly, which we've already seen he said numerous times. Yana, that people who look like they're getting away with things, ultimately they're going to be the ones who fail. Yavo edo peta yishave ve'ein marpe. It's going to come very suddenly and without being able to heal it. Pasuk tetzayin, sheish hena sanei Hashem. Now we're going to see a certain, perhaps even more maturity of this child, but at the same time, a phenomenal methodology that Yair Izakovich wrote about in his famous doctorate, again based on Amos al Shlosha Peshei X, right? Al Shlosha Peshei Edom v'al Arba Lo Ashivenu, right? For those who have learned Amos. And the question is, why is it that Nevi'im count this way? Shalosh Arba, and very similar then, Sheish V'sheva. So Yair Izakovich proved that this is the ancient way of counting, which we have incorporated even in our own counting. For those who have ever heard Israelis and playing jump rope, shalosh, arba, ve. Right, we say, then one, two, three strikes, you're out, right, at the old ball game. So, excellent, right? Why is this? Three and four is seven, right? For those who have read Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point, right, so he has proven, and this, I love to say, you know, in Midrashic literature is so evident, and certainly in Pshat is evident, and Buber pointed this out with the magic Mila Mancha, right, of generally multiples of seven, that seven is ingrained within the world, and we're not going to get into Fibonacci numbers and Philo taxis right now, that's right, but Gena, seven is a basic, right, a natural number in the sense of people remember, right, license plates, phone numbers, right, as sevens. And that's how people used to count. Shalosh Arba, right, three and four, or six and seven. Right? And therefore, you're going to see a lot of these threes and four, six and seven, particularly in Sefer Mishlei. So you're supposed to count along with him. You ready? There are six things, he says, that Hashem hates, meaning different midot that you're supposed to stay away from. V'sheva to'avot nafsho. But the seventh is the worst, right? Which is a way of obviously giving you a sense of, right, accruing almost anticipation over here. Einayim ramot. What does God hate? Haughty eyes, right? Ga'ava. So now we're into our midot, right? Lashon sheker. God hates sheker. He hates falsehood. V'yadayim shovchot dam naki. And God also hates, thank you. God also hates anyone whose hands spill innocent blood. Lev choresh, number four. Lev choresh machshavot aven. He hates the hearts that plot and all of these unjust thoughts. Raglayim mimaharot larutz lara'a. He hates the feet that run to perform evil. Yafiach kizavim eit shaker. And now we're getting very excited because we're almost towards the end. He hates a false witness who spouts out lies. Umishaleach midanim ben achim. And he hates one who is going to start different quarrels, particularly amongst brothers, right, and amongst friends. Can anyone tell me, are any of these really any new concepts that we've seen? No, he's already spoken about. Gena, he doesn't like, or maybe the haughty eyes, right? He doesn't, but he's spoken already about the eyes, already in Perek Dalid, and here once again with the kritzat ayin, right? People who are going to act with their eyes in a dishonest way. So he doesn't like ga'ava, that's the eyes. He doesn't like The number two, again, he doesn't like the lashon sheker. So he doesn't like a false tongue, so sheker. He doesn't like spilling innocent blood. So that obviously is. Again, yadayim shofchot dam naki. He doesn't like, again, a heart that plots these iniquitous thoughts. He doesn't like anyone who runs to do evil, even though does he love people who run? Yes, but not for bad things. Yafiach zavim eit sheker. He doesn't like, now here's another, and he doesn't like a false witness. But didn't we already talk about the lashon sheker? How is yafiach kizavim eit sheker different than a lashon sheker? So one is a false witness who, it's not just someone who goes out and doesn't speak the truth. He is going to incriminate people through his false lies. Again, the lies. And lastly, what is God? What is it building up to? All of these are basically midot that are going to detract from people being able to live one with the other. Right? God hates it when people ultimately are going to stir up rivim. Right? Ben Adam l'Re'ehu. God hates when people are not going to have the proper midot to be able to get along one with the other. And one can even argue, and this is actually a machloket amongst the parshanim, whether the six go under the umbrella of the seventh or whether they really are certain separate midot. So with this then, we're going to end the perek. Netzor b'ni mitzvat avicha v'al titosh torat imecha. Once again, he has to encourage him, please do not leave these ways. Once again, the terms that we've seen him already try to encourage the child with, kashrei malibcha tamid, andei malgagarotecha, very similar to perek aleph and bet, tie them to your heart, entwine them on your neck, b'talechacha tancha otach, b'shachbacha tishmor alecha, v'akitzota hi tisichecha. And we say this all the time, this will guide you. Even when you're in a state of shechiva, it will guard you when you're awake. And this is what should be your conversation. In other words, you should always be speaking based on this ethical behavior. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech hayim tochochot musar. Because all these commandments are a lamp, remember back to the sharo oscuro. These will keep you not only in the light, but Torah is the light. And keeping an ethical lifestyle is the proper way to live your life. And you're almost anticipating the next pasuk. Such a way will do what? Will keep you away from that evil woman. Lishmorcha mi'eshetra mi'chokat lashon nachriya. This will strengthen you. This will help you be able to deter the seductions of the evil woman from her tongue. Al tachmod yadcha bilvavecha. And even though her beauty may be very attractive, don't desire her beauty. V'al tikachacha v'afa pecha. Don't let her eyelids, right, and her flirtatious behavior seduce you. Ki be'ad isha zona ad kikar lachem. Because already in Parakeh he said how wonderful it is to stick with the beautiful woman of your youth, and that's really what's beautiful. Again, this life, because in the end, for the sake of this woman, who's a zona, ki be'ad isha zona, now he says it explicitly, ad kikar lachem. And you end up begging, this is how most person I'm understanding, you end up begging for a loaf of bread, ve'eshet ish nefesh yikarat tzatzud. And this adulterous woman, all of a sudden, she's a zona, she's an ishet ish. In the end, Yana, this is what's going to cause your downfall. This is what's going to entrap you. Hayachte ish ish bechiko. Can a man draw or bring fire to him without being burned? Uvagadav lo tisrafena. In other words, don't think that you're going to get away with this unscathed. That as soon as you approach something dangerous, as soon as you even get close to, again, this woman, or for that matter, any immoral behavior, you're going to be negatively affected. Im yalech ish ala gechalim. If a man is going to step on coals, what will obviously happen? Okay. He's going to be scorched in the end. Raglav lo tikavena. Ken haba el eshet reyehu. This is what will happen if you even get close to your friend's wife. Now, wait a second. Until this point, were we talking about an eshet ish? No. As a matter of fact, the woman was symbolic of all the negative seductions. I don't know about you, but I was even picturing simply a pretty, seductive woman. Now he tells you, actually, you don't know. You never know. Is she married? Is she not married? And this can carry terrible consequences. And that's exactly what he wants to say. Kein haba el eshet reyehu lo yinake kol hanogea ba. Someone who ends up even getting close, basically, to his friend's wife, anyone who touches her, in the end, kol hanogeaba lo yinake. He won't be absolved. He's going to be punished. Now, this is also interesting because based on Torah law, right, what is the punishment for someone who has a relationship with an eshadish? Right, that is one of the arayot, right? And so a bat kohen. And now basically, we have a yes, arba harugei beitin lo yavozu leganav ki ignov. We're going to take a look then at something else that's very interesting. It says you're not going to get away with it. Lo yavozu leganav ki ignov. A thief then is not going to, be scorned if he steals, basically to even eat something if he's hungry. In other words, lo yavozu leganav ki ignov lemalei nafsho ki yirav. On one hand, you're saying that if, like Robin Hood, right, a thief who has to steal in order to survive, right, does he get off scot-free? On one hand, you're going to understand why he did it. On the other hand, should he be punished?
Yeah.
Yes, he's still a thief. V'nimsa yishalem shivatayim et kol hon beito yitein. Even though it may make sense for someone who's really hungry to become a thief and to steal, of course there are going to be punishments. And not only that, but if he's a poor person to begin with, then he has to think twice before he steals, because what's the punishment if you steal?
Prison.
Very nice. By the way, who remembers how much you have to pay back if you steal, generally? So with a general, you have to pay back kefil, right? Again, the knas. But if you steal, let's say, a lamb, excellent, and a shor, 4 and 5. So where does the 7 come? Right, so the parshanim asked, this is not the halachic, Okay. So just like I said, either it's kefil or it's 4 or it's 5. Where do we get 7? So this is fascinating. In the code of Hammurabi, a thief has to pay back 7 times. That's number one. But one can also argue, we've already discussed how 7 is the common number. So that's how much he has to pay back. So even if you think that he can get away with it, obviously he should think twice about it, because if he's caught, then it didn't pay to do it at all. So too, he's using this as a mashal. Don't think that you're going to get away with your sin, even if you're somewhat justified. And not only that, but think about the consequences before you go ahead and start doing something silly. And that's how you have to read it with a question mark the whole time. So too, no if isha chaser lev. So someone then who is going to commit adultery, and here it doesn't necessarily even say, and whether he's married or not, it's referring to the ishatish, someone who commits adultery with this woman, and lacks the forethought. Right, he's not even thinking about it. Chaser lev, mashchit nafsho hu yasena. Is he really thinking about the ramifications of committing adultery? Certainly not. Why? Nega v'kalonim savacharpato lo tzimachei. Because if he was, he would realize that he's just going to be shamed in the end. He's going to be disgraced, and that's not going to be erased. Ki kinach hamatgever lo yachmol biyom nakam. Also, a very powerful pasuk, because jealousy is going to make the husband very angry. Who's the third party here? Meaning, when someone commits adultery, sometimes who do they forget about? The married spouse, right? If the married spouse finds out about it, if Potiphar finds out about Isha Potiphar, then who in the end is going to suffer? Usually, the wife suffers less than,
oh my God,
right, than the man. Ki kin achamat giver lo yachmol biyom nakam. Anna, he will not have mercy on the day that he seeks revenge. Not only that, lo yisa pnei kol kofer, he doesn't accept any kapara, right, any financial ransom. And he won't even allow for any bribe to be made. Basically, we see also in the Code of Hammurabi something very interesting, that the husband of the adulteress gets to decide whether or not to pardon the adulteress. And he gets to decide, unlike in the Torah, where it's explicit, the husband gets to decide what the punishment of the adulterer is going to be. And some classic suggestions are execute him, or sell him as a slave, or have him basically, and or castrate him. I forgot that one. And or, and I have him basically pay this ridiculous sum. But you can imagine that a jealous husband, right, is going to choose a very, very harsh punishment. And that's the way that he ends the perek, basically saying, think before you do something silly. Now you're all wondering, do we talk to our children this way? Not necessarily, but we do use different mishalim, and that they're familiar with from their own reality, that tells them. And even if something looks very good, you have to think about the long-term ramifications. Right? Before you decide that you're going to take something from a store without paying for it, realize that if you're caught, then you're going to have to work in the store, right, to pay off your debt. And that here is where he's not only going to be speaking now about, until now, the long-term ramifications, but even the short-term ramifications, and obviously the midot that we were interested in seeing. Each time he's going to speak about the positive ones, he's going to counter it with, stay away from the negative ones, stay away from the negative ones, which really is also a very fundamental educational concept. As much as we encourage positive behavior in young children, we also want to make sure that they stay away from the negative behavior. And I'm sorry for keeping you so long.